This morning's Newsmaker segment brought to you by Marshall Chrysler. The Missouri Public Service Commission wrapped up their final public testimony hearings yesterday regarding the potential Grain Belt Express project. This morning we're visiting with Mark Lawler, Director of Development for Grain Belt Express Clean Line. Well, Mark, first, I want you to tell me in your words what the opportunities are and what the benefits are of this project to the state of Missouri.
Yeah. It's a tremendous opportunity for the state of Missouri, and we have a lot of folks that are excited to see the project come to fruition. The Grain Belt Express Clean Line is a transmission line that will allow us to get access to low-cost renewable energy. And it's really important because as we move to a greener economy and we have, in this state, a renewable energy standard that requires us to get to 15% renewables, we need to do so in a cost-effective way. So what this allows us to do is to meet both goals, get more clean energy, and do it at a cost-effective way. In the meantime, we'll also be creating a tremendous amount of economic activity through jobs and manufacturing with companies here in Missouri that will benefit. And then on the long term, we're going to see property tax revenue to all the counties where the project is located, significant property tax revenue to go towards schools and emergency services in the counties. And so there's a number of different levels of benefits for Missouri, which is why it's exciting. And there's a lot of people that are interested in it.
Now, let's talk about some of the things that we've heard from some of these meetings. I want to give you the opportunity to respond. First of all, let's start with property values. A lot of these landowners are standing up saying that they're going to lose property value. What's your response to that?
Yeah, so there's a lot of transmission in and around the country. You know, pretty much every county, every state has transmission lines on it. And you need only just go look at examples throughout the county and the countryside to see that transmission lines have minimal to no impact on property value. Landowners who will have the easements on their property will be compensated as well. And we really broke the mold on how this is typically done in the industry by paying significantly more than what you've seen in the past for the easement. We also have developed a structure payment. So for each structure on a property, you can take the option to have that in a larger upfront payment or spread out on an annual basis going up and paid for as long as the line is there. And that's, has a 2% adjuster, so it goes up over time. A number of other provisions in the easement have been added to address individual concerns by landowners. And then finally, we work very closely in siting the line to find a way in which the site has the least amount of impacts possible. And we've been working on that route for, over a year and a half now with landowners, public meetings, sitting down and trying to find the best way to find that location.
Okay, so I hear you say the least amount of impact possible. What decides that? Because I know the landowners feel like it's a big impact because it's on their land. So what determined your route?
Yeah, what you want to look for are ways to minimize impact to existing land uses. So if it's a farm ground, you want to, wherever possible, find existing property lines or existing rights of way that you can parallel. You can also work with pole placement to put those on the edge of fields or off of an edge of a terrace or something where it's not impacting farm activity. So it really takes a sort of micro siting effort to sit down one by one. And that's what we've been doing for the last several months. Meeting with landowners, finding those very fine details to reduce those impacts. But at the higher level, again, following existing rights of way is a good way to keep those impacts reduced.
Okay, let's talk about the impact on health, because that's a big topic of conversation too. Probable link to leukemia and cancer are things that we're hearing out there at those meetings. So what's your response to that?
Yeah, there's a significant amount of confusion and misinformation that is floating out around on this topic. And, it's our job to help get information out there that's accurate and helpful. We have a lot of that information on our website that directs people to studies that are conducted by independent organizations. The World Health Organization, for example, has looked at this in depth and all the studies that have been done. As you can imagine, this has been looked at a lot over the decades around the world, and the overwhelming consensus of the science shows that there are no known health impacts of electric and magnetic fields. So it is something that is difficult, it's complex, it's hard to understand all the time, but if you take a look at existing lines, we sit and live and work around electric fields all the time without an impact to our health, and this is really no different. We're also citing this in places that are remote and distant from homes is important to us. We want to have setbacks and the like. So the key is really getting good information into people's hands.
Okay, and we talk about health, and same goes for the animals. We heard from cattle ranchers worried about cattle infertility. What are your thoughts?
There are certainly no studies or even anecdotal evidence that that is an issue. I understand why someone would be concerned. It's going to represent a change, and you would want to be concerned, and you're right to be concerned. But there is certainly, again, ample examples of transmission lines around the country and here in Missouri where cattle live under and around transmission lines all the time.
Now, when you say that, is there a transmission line that's as big and as powerful as the one that we're discussing here today?
Yeah, so there are lines that have higher voltage than this one. This is a 600 kilovolt. There are 765 kilovolt lines around the country. There are other DC lines around the country that have similar capacity. So, yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of examples of projects that either have higher voltage or similar capacity on them, and still not an impact or concern on that front.
I heard some supporters say that this will be an energy source for the state. Is that a true statement? Will this energy be utilized in the state of Missouri?
Absolutely. That's the fundamental component of this project, is delivering 500 megawatts of low-cost renewable energy to Missouri, and that's enough to power 200,000 Missouri homes. We'll have a connection to the grid on the eastern side of the state. And again, you know, it's an example of miscommunication, I think, that has kind of confused things a bit. But I mean, that's fundamental to our application with the Missouri Public Service Commission, defined, you know, in all of our materials. You know, in fact, you know, the project began as just a Kansas-Missouri project. It was going to deliver all of it here to Missouri, but unfortunately, the existing grid couldn't absorb the full amount of the 3,500 megawatts. So we added an additional delivery point farther east in order to deliver really the right amount of energy to Missouri that could be absorbed and handled by the grid.
So do you have contracts here in Missouri for that?
Yeah, those will come at a little bit later in the stage. First thing you got to do is get your permits and show that you can, you know, actually provide this product. So, you know, you have to get permission from all the states. And so you wouldn't have customers at this stage. It would be like saying, I'm going to be a trucking service for you, but you don't have any trucks or you don't have a license. So we have to get those permits first.
Okay. So it was said today that the UK owns 40% of the company and has the right to purchase more at any time if they so choose. True or false?
Yeah. So National Grid is a company that has based here in the U.S., and they have originated in the U.K. They are an investor in Clean Line Energy Partners. So very important distinction. Clean Line Energy Partners is a U.S. company, and Grain Belt Express Clean Line LLC is owned by Clean Line. So these are American-based companies, but like everything that we have investors that can come from, you know, any parts of the world. We have our utilities that have shareholders that, you know, come from around the world. So no, it's not the confusion I think that lies out there has to be with the fact that or the view is that, you know, a foreign company could come in and buy or take and own this. The American component of National Grid is invested in this company.
Okay, so along those same lines, we heard someone comment today that you can sell this easement to anyone for any project at any time. True or false?
No, the easement has to be transferable. So, in the event that the Grain Belt project takes on new ownership or additional ownership, but you can't just sell an easement. Okay, the easement requires, and it's in plain language written into there, that it is for a direct current line as defined by this project. You can't do anything else. You can't do anything additional. You can't do anything different. It's designed specifically for this. If the project were to change in its nature, you would have to go get a completely different easement. So our goal, Grain Belt Express wants to build, own, and operate this project. And we think it will be extremely beneficial to the state of Missouri because of the energy it will deliver, the jobs it will create, and the property tax that will come to those local communities.
And we heard supporters talk about those jobs and the tax revenue, and that was the primary reason that they were behind it. And then we heard landowners stand up and say, but what about my job and what about my land? Is it worth it? And then we heard a lot of supporters say that you don't frankly care about them. What's your response to that?
Well, we absolutely do care, and I think that's a mixed characterization. We want to, as I just discussed about the siting of the line and the care that we take to find ways to minimize impacts, we take that very seriously and every concern that a landowner would have. And I think that's reflected in you know, the ongoing public meetings and dialogues that we've had. When it comes to, you know, the farms and those jobs that do exist, they will continue. They will be able to continue to farm the ground. They'll be able to raise cattle, grow hay, etc. It's just like, again, just like any other transmission line that is out in the countryside, really no different. It's going to be able to, as you drive by and you see, you know, corn and beans growing underneath those lines, they'll be able to do the same thing here, or cattle grazing. So it's, I think, you know, maybe there's a little bit of confusion about what the line, you know, impacts would be. Those farms, those very important jobs to Missouri, of course will continue. But in addition, we're going to create new jobs. We have the need for this energy, and we have local Missouri manufacturers and companies that will build the components right here in the state. Those jobs are important. We had supporters, you know, stand up and say that they're in the construction business. Every job they've ever had has been a temporary job. So we can't discount a construction job because it has a start time and an end time. These folks need work. They're excited about the project. And a lot of folks in Missouri are linemen and benefit from this opportunity. And that's why we've heard them come out and speak in support as well.
We also heard supporters, again, talk about that tax revenue. We heard a supporter get up and say what a difference it would make in her school district. Do you have dollar amounts that you can throw at me for exactly what kind of an impact some of those counties might see?
Yeah, this will be significant for the counties where it'll be located. Based on some estimates that, you know, you can't predict exactly with extreme precision, but we can get some pretty good estimates based upon how existing transmission and other utility property is taxed. And so, a typical county with about 20 or so miles of transmission would see in and around $800,000 in the first year of property tax. And those will go to primarily to your school districts where, you know, they're struggling because they have a shrinking tax base and they still have to provide the same service. They go to emergency services like fire and ambulance, libraries, the county, and the roads, and et cetera. So that kind of money is going to be significant. And a lot of these counties have seen the benefits of, you know, recent pipelines that have come through. And, you know, it is a substantial portion of their revenue come from projects like these. And, you know, look at it. These services have to be provided. And if you have a shrinking tax base, how are you going to meet those services? You know, the only choice you have as a county or a taxing district is to raise taxes, unless you get investment in your community from a company like this to bring property, new utility property to the county and bring in more revenue.
So you mentioned those numbers for the first year, projected numbers or estimated numbers. Where would they go after that first year?
Yeah, it'll be based upon either the value of that transmission line or the value of the company. So they'll remain significant over time. There is a little bit of depreciation that takes place with any property, utility property as well. But, you know, you can take a look at the gas pipelines that go through a lot of the counties, and they're still paying substantial property tax because those pipelines are of equal value in many ways as, you know, they were when they were put in. So depreciation tends not to go down very, very much. But, you know, when you're starting around $800,000, that's many, many years of significant revenue to each county.
We've covered quite a bit of information. I appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions. Anything else that you would like to add?
Well, we encourage folks that continue to have questions or concerns to reach out to us. It's our job to make sure accurate information is out there. And we know that we have work to do still, and we will remain, you know, present in the community, set up meetings. We have folks, including land agents, who sit down to inform folks about, you know, what the easement looks like and the compensation. And so the name of the game is, you know, information. Sit down, talk, and let's continue to meet.
some of my listeners that aren't directly impacted, aren't landowners that are directly impacted, may not know where we go from here. So can you kind of give us an outline where we go from here?
Yeah, so after the public hearings conclude here this week, it will turn to an evidentiary hearing in November, and then an order from the commission probably at the beginning of next year.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your time today, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you.